Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. I'm Barry Kantz, your host. This is show number 277 for January 23rd, 2011. The music in this podcast is provided by the IOTA Alliance. The song you're listening to is Coming Home, Baby.
You don't know what I'm going through.
And the artist is Emily Claire Barlow. And it's from the album Haven't We Met.
Come on home. You know I'm counting every day.
Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. Once again, I'm Barry Kantz, your host, and welcome aboard. I'm glad you're listening, and I want to thank you if you are a subscriber, and you can subscribe to the show over at iTunes. Just plug in the search term travel agent, and the Home Base Travel Agent Show will come up, and you can get the show right in your iPod or your iPhone. And I know there's a lot of BlackBerry listeners out there now, too, so welcome on board with the BlackBerry. I'm glad you're listening. You can find out more about the show at hometravelagent.net. That's www.hometravelagent.net. And what you're going to find there are all of the past shows up to about 2-3 years ago. The show's been around since February 26th of 2005, but the archives of the show are on the website for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, I'm not sure how much, but they're out there. And if you want to reach me by email, you can do so at barry@hometravelagent.net. Coming up in the show, we're going to talk a little bit about travel agent licensing, and we're going to talk about a chocolate farm. Now, who wouldn't want to be at a chocolate farm? Sounds good to me. Actually, I just had some chocolate. And you know, if you want to find other travel-related shows, you can go over to the Travelcast Network, and you can find that at www.travelcastnetwork.com. Travelcast Network is all one word. And once you get over there, you're going to find several travel-related shows, from Disney-related shows to The Amateur Traveler, shows about Hawaii, shows about Italy. So you're going to find several travel-related shows that you may find an interest in, as well as the Home Base Travel Agent show. So you might check that out. And there's a lot of other good shows over on the Blueberry Network, and that's blubrry.com. That's Blueberry without the B's. without the E's, blueberry without the E's. There are B's in it. So it's BLUBRRY, the Blueberry Network. So what I want to do now is get right into the business segment of the show. So here we go with that. Well, if you're new to the travel business, maybe you've wondered whether or not you need a license to sell travel. And some states do require you to have a license or to register with the state in order to sell travel. Now, some states do it a little differently. Some require you to register, and then you can operate under your host agency's license. And you can find more information about that from your host agency. But what I want to do here is let you know how to find out whether or not your state requires a license for travel agents. Now, one of the best resources that I've found to determine this is at travellaw.com, and I'll have a link to that in the show notes. That's www.travellaw.com. And on that state, the author of the website, who is an attorney, his name is Alexander Anolik, and he specializes in the travel industry. Now, on his website, he lists several states who do require a license to sell travel. Now, I'm not sure how new or how old this information is, but he does list several states here. One is Michigan, but Michigan does not require a license to sell travel. So, and he does mention that later on. He lists the states, which are California, Florida, Hawaii, Illinois, Iowa, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and the state of Washington. And then on the website, he goes down the list and talks about what kind of licensing they require. But once again, you know, I don't know how new this information is, so some of it could be out of date. There's really no date information on the website. So what I did before I started this segment is I went out and I thought, well, I want to see how easy it is to come up with state statutes. So I plugged in the search terms in Google. I plugged in Texas statutes, and right at the top of the search was the link to the site where I can search the statutes in the state of Texas. And I did the same thing for Arkansas and a couple other states. And you can find the laws for those states really simply just by putting in a Google search term, whatever your state is. Say it's Illinois, put in Illinois statutes, and you'll get a link. The link is typically sponsored by the state legislature. And then once you get to the site where you can do a search, use several search terms, such as seller of travel, or just travel, or travel agent. Now, if you put in travel, you're going to see a lot of statutes that have to do with state employees or judges being reimbursed for travel expenses. But if you do all three of those search terms and you go through all of the results, you're going to see whether or not that state requires you to have some sort of license or registration to sell travel. So that's one good way to take this original website, travellaw.com, and then maybe go to your state's statutes on the web, and then put in the search term, seller of travel, travel or travel agent, and see what you come up with. So that's the do-it-yourself method to determine whether or not your state requires any kind of licensing. You know, it may not hurt if you're going to get into the business in a big way, is to run this past an attorney in your locale and ask them to do some research for you, or contact the people at travellaw.com and see what they can do for you. And your host agency may be a resource to find out more information as well. So with that, that will conclude our business segment for this week, and we'll move right on into talking about the chocolate farm. So here we go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Home-Based Travel Agent Show co-hosted segment. I say co-hosted a little lightly today because Lorraine was planning on joining us here, but she was called away to San Francisco on a special project, and I think she even has to work on this thing, whatever it is, into the evening. So she called me last night, said she couldn't make it today, and I got a hold of our guest today, and I've been chatting with him briefly here before I hit the record button. But today our guest is Will Lydgate from the Steelgrass Farms, and Will is the farm manager. And, well, you might think, why do you have this on the Home-Based Travel Agent Show? Well, Lorraine and Gail took a tour of the farm and actually really loved that tour. And that's how Lorraine invited Will to be on the show. And what I can do is I will let Will describe the farm to us and what it's all about and why people take tours there. So, Will, tell us a little bit about yourself and about the farm.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be on the show. Aloha to the listeners out there. And I was just talking with Barry a little bit before, and it's during the winter times we see the weather readouts on the mainland. We get a little bit of extra gratitude to be over here on Kauai. So I hope this is sending lots of warm aloha to everyone over the airwaves right now into Ukraine.
Yeah, thanks. Well, we us particularly here near the East Coast and on the East Coast need all the warmth we can get.
<That's good. laughs> So we run a multi-income farm family farm. We're a small family farm, and I run it with my family. I'm the farm manager over there. And we do a number of different things, including working with visitors. We have a really great time, basically, on our diversified ag operation. And one of the main things that people see when they come is our chocolate farm tour, which I think will probably be the focus of our talk today, although I could certainly speak at length about some of our farming practices and how we feel about farming. You know, as you may know, the Hawaiian Islands used to be a real agricultural powerhouse in the Pacific, and because of all the sugarcane and pineapple, we had fields and fields and fields of green sugarcane, and many people worked on the cane fields. It was a main source of our economy as a rural agricultural state, and also for years we had pineapples, and we had a pineapple cannery, and there was lots of exporting. And just with the changing economy and global shipping and the global economy, it no longer made sense for little Hawaii to, you know, kind of grow their pineapples and live our relaxed lifestyle, because other countries, you know, Brazil, India, Philippines, could outproduce us in pineapples. I mean, Philippines for the pineapples, or Brazil and India for sugar, and it just didn't make sense anymore for us. In Hawaii, as far as the dollar is concerned, to raise sugar, we got outpriced in the global market. So really, there's almost no more Hawaii sugar. This happened in the last 10, 15 years. Well, questions on how long have I been out of high school now. I remember the last cane fields burning in maybe 2000 or 2001, and that was one of the last harvests, and we still had, I'm on the island of Kauai. Now, I think our very last harvest on this island of sugarcane was a year ago, so we lost that, and everyone on the island is kind of struggling around, what are we going to do to replace our ag? And kind of some of the small farmers are thinking, well, we better do what we can, see if we can raise crops that have more value, things that are more value-added products. So in that search, out came some really exciting new plants to Hawaii. One of them is chocolate, which certainly brings a smile and warmth to the hearts of many people. The scientific name for chocolate is Theobroma cacao, which actually means food of the gods, Theo for gods and Broma for food. And I think it's quite fitting that it's called the food of the gods for many reasons. One, you know, people oftentimes associate chocolate with divinity, especially women, it seems. I'm not saying men don't like chocolate here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, but you know what I mean.
I
guys,
do.
You know out there, guys, and I'm sure it's a good handy to have chocolate around. And Theobroma cacao, also, in addition to chocolate, vanilla is another crop that we're growing and we're really excited about for Hawaii. We also raise honeybees. And we're on a small family farm. Another thing we do is have visitors to our farm. We do agritourism. So that involves, it's a three-hour guided tour. And we come on our farm, we greet you, we give you a piece of chocolate right off, and we just spend 3 hours with the folks who come to our farm. We talk about agriculture on the island. We look at trees. We eat tropical fruits that are in season. Some fruits are familiar to some people, but many are new, brand-new taste experiences. Strange, exotic things like rambutan, the bright red, hairy fruit, and longan, which is a cousin of the rambutan. We eat chiku, which tastes like a combination of a cinnamon and brown sugar. And we eat star fruit, and sometimes we have sour sap on the tour. And we're tasting all these kind of fun fruits and talking about them. And then we go to our chocolate trees, and we tell you more than you ever wanted to know about the history, botany, and horticulture of this chocolate tree, which we grow on our farm. And then we do a big chocolate tasting, 10 of the world's finest dark chocolates. So at Steelgrass Farm, we have a lot of fun.
Wow, that's pretty good. Now, do you grow any durian fruit? I just had to ask that.
I have actually, believe it or not tasted durian yet. Durian, I think it's so stinky, the durian fruit, that they outlawed it in China, I think, on the railways. They said, you're not allowed to eat durian in a rail car.
You know, I think they did the same thing on buses in Thailand. So.
Well, okay, maybe it's a Thai bus. But anyway, but durian is in the strange, large Asian spiky fruit family, which includes jackfruit and soursop, adamoya, cherimoya, and all of those things. And it's actually we don't have a durian tree. We have a soursop though.
Okay.
Similar to durian. Yeah.
So now you grow the chocolate on your farm. Do you right there on the farm? Do you produce the finished product chocolate?
So we don't have any finished product right now, but we're getting close to it. Right now our production is too small, and there's not quite enough beans being produced on the island to have a real retail chocolate brand. Kauai is a little bit behind some of the other islands, namely the Big Island, which produces a lot of chocolate right now, and also Oahu has a chocolate brand coming out of it. And, you know, we do make some small batch chocolate, but it's just our production isn't enough to have a brand right now. But I'm really excited, Barry, to get a chocolate brand, our chocolate on Kauai. And, you know, a lot of our mission in the last 3 years, really, since we started really pushing people growing chocolate on the island, has been to get seedlings out to folks and encourage other people to plant chocolate, give away trees, sell trees. A lot of trees have come out of our nursery. I think it's over 1,500 trees out of our nursery at this point have gone into the ground other places on the island. It takes 3 years for the chocolate tree to mature, and they grow pretty slowly. So I'm afraid we're still a couple years out to really see a vibrant chocolate co-op kind of scene on Kauai, such as you have for coffee on the Big Island.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm envisioning lots of small growers growing it That way, no one disease will wipe out anyone's farm. You know, I'll be able to make it, and we'll have a central processing facility. So that's similar to what they're doing on the Big Island now. So for now, we're just making some small batch chocolate, and we're educating folks about chocolate.
How many chocolate beans does it take to make a pound of chocolate? What's the ratio there?
It takes about, you could say, 10, if they're big pods, it takes about 10 pods to make a pound of chocolate. It can take up to 20 or 30 pods. Each pod has 27 to about 36 beans in it. So I'm not sure. You do the math on that one.
Right,
how about maybe 300 to 400 beans, something like that?
Okay.
And, basically, if you have a pound of beans, that'll make you a pound of, pure unsweetened chocolate. So as you add the sugar, that you add the weight there. Baker's chocolate is 100% pure chocolate, no sugar. And as you start adding sugar, the ratios go down. It gets sweeter and more palatable. So one tree produces about 30, 40 pods a year when it's fully mature. And so one tree can produce about 3 or 4 pounds of chocolate.
Okay. Yeah. So how do people find your farm? Our audience here are travel agents, and if they're talking to their clients, what would they tell their clients?
Yeah. Well, if you're looking for our farm specifically, you can go to steelgrass.org. The name of our farm is Steelgrass. Steel like the metal, grass like green grass, .org, Steelgrass, all one word. And our island visitors, they're almost all free independent travelers. They come on their own, and we advertise in a number of ways. One, we work pretty heavily with the concierges. So some of them are online concierges like Expedia, which also have activity desks and desks at the different hotels they have contracts with. And then some of them are just the concierges at each hotel. Concierges give us about half of our business. So we've had at this point, about a year and a half ago, we counted our 10,000th visitor. Tony hasn't, my dad, who does our operations, hasn't added up yet, but I suspect it's getting close to 20,000 people we've had through our farm. We do 3 tours a week, and I'd say it's between 25 and 40, kind of on an average, three days a week. In the busy seasons, we get, we're maxed at 46. So we've had a lot of people. So the concierges see that they send people, and they come back, and they said, we had a great time at Steelgrass Farm. And they send us more people. About half our business comes from them. Also, we advertise online. We do Google AdWords. So that means it's a Google advertising service. When someone types in one of our search topics like chocolate or Kauai chocolate or something, our little banner will pop up on the right-hand side. And then if someone clicks on it, Google gets, 5 cents or something like that. We do have some special tours as well. Your Man Tours every year does a farmer farm bureau tours for Midwestern farmers, and we have some independent tour companies that also come and book through us, and people who bring groups throughout all the islands on a multi-island tour will do packages for them too as well.
Okay, great. So if we have travel agents who are tour operators and are conducting tours of the island,
yes,
they would be able to get a hold of you through the website and arrange something like that.
Yes, they would. You can also call us. There's a number on the website there, and I don't have any problem with giving it out here on the radio show. It's 808-821-1857, and certainly if you contact Barry, he'll have that number on file. You can just call us. Go ahead.
I will have that. I'll put that in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can call us. The best way really is email. Depends on if you like to phone or email. It's info@steelgrass.org. We do special tours, and we're happy to arrange those kinds of things. The visitors have a lot of fun on our farm. We frequently hear feedback from our visitors like, this is the best thing I did on Kauai. They really have a great, not to brag on our tour, but really have a nice time. It has a family feel to it because we're a small family farm and we're so intimately involved in the tour. I think people can really tell that it's hands-on by us and not kind of removed, and I think people like that a lot, that it's a small farm and it's a family farm, and people like what we're doing, and they're excited about the work we're doing on the island, and just they want to see things that are from Kauai really prosper. And my family has been on Kauai for a long time. I'm fifth generation. We're in the Lydgate family. So if you hear our name Lydgate, you may recognize that, because there's actually a state park named after great-grandfather John Mortimer Lydgate was a big community figure here on the island, and he did everything from founding the Boy Scouts to helping found the Lihue Library to the Mokihana Club to all sorts of different things. And we try to carry on his legacy by getting everyone to plant chocolate.
All right. Now, when a visitor comes to the farm, are there products there to purchase? Do you have a store?
Yes, we do. At the end of our farm tour, we transform our little table in the welcome tent to a gift shop where we have all of our farm produce available for sale. We do produce, although we don't have a retail chocolate brand right now, and we're not selling any of the chocolate we make, we do have honey that we grow on our farm. We also do vanilla beans on our farm, and we have all of those. As well as kind of all the chocolates we taste on the tour, we collect and taste rare, delicious chocolates from all over the world on our farm tour. So when folks come, they can definitely go home with a bag full of delicious chocolates that are very hard to find, as well as a lot of knowledge about chocolate. And Barry, I've got actually a fun story about our honey.
Okay.
If I could tell it.
Sure.
Yeah. It's fun because people come to our tour, their tour, and they're just expecting chocolate. And they not only get chocolate, but they get a lot of other kind of fun asides. And one of the fun asides is our honey. We have 7 bee boxes, and we taste our honey on the tour. And I'm very proud to announce to the tour and to you folks that our honey, about 3 months ago, won first prize in the annual Beekeepers Association Honey Challenge. And it won first prize in the category of, wait for it, in the category of appearance. So we have the best looking honey in the state of Hawaii.
No, I would never realize that was a category.
Isn't that? I know.
Yeah.
It was a kick to win that, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you know, for award-winning honey.
Award-winning honey, I like that. As Will and I were talking here before we started the show, on a note of personal interest, you're on your lunch hour, aren't you, Will? And you're doing something kind of unique that sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, if you hear little children screaming in the background, it's because there are little children on their lunch break. Part of being in a multi-income farm family means everyone works lots of jobs, and we try to pursue our passions. And I also do music, and I'm the music teacher once a week at a little school called Kauai Pacific School. So I'm on my lunch break. Yeah, which is great. It's great fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
It's great, yeah. We have a lot of great students here. And you know, also, in addition to that, I forgot to mention before, on the farm, you know, I talked about some of the different programs that we have agriculturally, but what I didn't mention was, you know, we do lots of different things in order to make the farm run, and one of them is we actually operate a recording studio on the farm to bring in some extra money. So we have a state-of-the-art recording studio on the farm, and people can actually come and stay on the farm, and we have a farm stay program, and you can record in the studio if you want.
Wow, now you're making me jealous. I've got some professional equipment here, but not...
Oh, yeah.
Nothing,
oh, hey, man.
Nothing close to a studio.
We do voiceovers and stuff. I mean, you've got all your... Usually voice actors these days, I mean, it's so portable. And what with Source Connect, which is software that lets you connect over the internet like ISDN, I mean, you can almost go anywhere. But still, we get a lot of mobile recording work. Voice actors who get stuck on Kauai, they have a deadline. You know, so I do a lot of commercials. I mean, you know, we've done all sorts of work from movies, from with actors like Jack Black and Ben Stiller for DreamWorks, you know, all the way through, you know, Maytag commercials, and we had the Nesquik Bunny, and all sorts of people have been through our studio. So that's kind of a lot of fun as well.
Well, that's just another interesting aspect of the farm that you have there. And now, is the studio part of the tour, or is that?
No, sometimes people will ask about it, and I can give them a private studio tour afterwards. But no, we don't talk too much about it.
Uh-huh.
Although we should. I mean, we've had so many people through the farm, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, probably would be smart to mention the studio. You never know who's on the tour, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Well, once again, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, the best way to get a hold of us is to email us info@steelgrass.org. Steel like the metal, grass like green grass. Or you can call us, area code 808-821-1857. We'd be happy to hear from you. My name is Will, and my dad is Tony. He'll be answering that 821 number. And just give us a call. We'd be happy to set up something with your tour group through the Hawaiian Islands or just talk to you about possibilities.
Excellent, excellent. And if people want to reach me, they can reach me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. And I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/Barry.Cantz. And by the way, do you guys have a Facebook?
You know what, Barry? I got to get that set up. It's just, I've been talking about it for a couple months now, but I really got to do it. No, we don't have Facebook yet, but I think that's the next thing for Steelgrass.
Okay, yeah. Oh, there's one of the musicians. All right.
Yeah, right?
That's great.
Hawaii Roosters. They got, I don't know, maybe this might be worth telling. Kauai didn't used to have chickens. Now we get made fun of by all the other islands because of all our chickens. They all got loose during I believe it was Hurricane Eva in 1982, and now the entire island is just covered in chickens.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Well, Will, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I wished Laureen was here to talk to you, but she got called to another event there, but it was really great to have you along here for this show on the Home Based Travel Agent Show, and we would maybe look forward to having you again in the future once you get the chocolate up that would be fun. So, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you so much for having me, Barry.
Okay, thank you, Will. And on my list of things to do when I go to Hawaii is to visit the Steelgrass farms and visit the chocolate farm. And likely by then, I'll be able to sample some of your chocolate products in their production mode, not in their growing mode. Anyhow, once again, thanks a lot, Will, and glad to have you on the show. And now we move on into the news segment of the show, and we have good news. And the good news is that leisure travel is recovering, albeit slowly. Now, this comes from Travel News at MSNBC.com, and what they say is that the leisure travel business is recovering from the recession, but at a slower pace than business travel, and that monthly revenue from leisure travel hotel reservations through June will rise an average of 14% from a year earlier on average, and this is according to Pegasus Solutions Incorporated. And they go on to say that leisure travel reservations will rise between 17% and 23% during March, April, May, and June. So that's all good. People are beginning to release some of that pent-up demand for leisure travel. So that's good news for us. And the next article is similar, and this has to do with the cruise industry. And this comes from the Orlando Business Journal. And I'll have a link to all these articles in the show notes so you can go read the whole article. But they predict a 6.6% growth in cruise activity worldwide. And they also say that the North American cruise traffic is expected to see a 5.2% growth rate in 2011. So hopefully your business will notice the difference from this year to last year in the number of people booking cruises with you or booking leisure travel. So I hope that's the case. I hope everyone's business is on the upswing this year. That would be good. Now the next article and the last article is about Frommer's, and Frommer's announces the best cruise ships of 2011. Now the Royal Caribbean International's Oasis of the Seas and the Allure of the Seas have been named on Frommer's best cruise ships of 2011. Now, the Allure of the Seas shares the title of the world's largest and most revolutionary cruise ship with its sister ship, the Oasis of the Seas. Now, the ship has a bunch of onboard activities and amenities, and the Allure of the Seas offers a one-of-a-kind entertainment performances, different culinary concepts, retail venues, and technology innovations. So, congratulations to RCI, Royal Caribbean International, for having two of their cruise ships named among the best cruise ships of 2011. And once again, there's a link to all these articles in the show notes, and you can go read the whole thing by going to the show notes at hometravelagent.net and clicking on the links. Well, I want to thank you for stopping by and being a part of the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. I really welcome you aboard. And stop back next week. We'll have another show for you. And until then, travel safe, stay healthy. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
You know I'm waiting here for you. You've been gone. You don't know what I'm going through. Since you went away, I've been blue. Come on home. You know I'm counting every day. Use the phone, baby, now, and let me hear you say that you're coming home right away. Come on home, baby, now, you know I'm waiting at the door. All alone and pacing up and down. When I'm in your arms.